Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I do have some inspiring interviews coming your way, but today it's just you and me, my friend. And no rants this week, only raves. There are some exciting cannabis and hemp landscape changes to report that affect our brothers and sisters around the country. Probably the biggest headline is that cannabis is legal in New York. That means that nearly 20 million more people can now legally access cannabis in this country. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. And in my effort to not rewrite the news, I'll share with you what I read. Empire State Normal Deputy Director Troy Smith said, "We stand on the shoulders of giants. It's taken a great amount of work and perseverance by activists, patients, and consumers to go from being the cannabis arrest capital of the world to lead the world with a legalized market dedicated to equity, diversity, and inclusion. This might not be the perfect piece of legislation, but today, cannabis consumers can hold their heads high and smell the flowers." Senator Krueger and Assemblywoman Peoples Stokes have laid the groundwork for marijuana justice and a consumer-centric industry. Now it's time for the Office of Cannabis Management to take up their torch and implement regulations that protect patient and consumer rights. So New York's Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act, MRTA, allows adults to obtain cannabis from state-licensed retailers or grow their own, with three mature plants and three immature plants being the personal limit. The measure also facilitates the automatic review and expungement of past convictions for cannabis crimes made legal under the MRTA. Hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers will receive legal relief under this provision, as New York has notoriously arrested its citizens for possession. In fact, arrests for the possession of marijuana in the state made up over half of all of the drug arrests in 2018. According to a 2020 report published by the American Civil Liberties Union, in 2018, almost 60,000 New Yorkers were arrested for marijuana law violations. Of those arrested, 95% were charged with possession only. Three New York counties, Columbia, Greene, and Washington, fell within the top 20 in the nation for the most marijuana possession arrests per capita. More recent data issued weeks ago by the Legal Aid Society found that in the five boroughs in New York City, for the year 2020, Black and Hispanics comprised over 93% of those arrested for marijuana violations. Provisions in the MRTA seek to award half of all business licenses to social equity applicants, and 40% of tax revenue will be directed toward communities disproportionately impacted by cannabis prohibition. Retail sales will be taxed at 9%, plus up to 4% in a local tax, as well as an extra tax for THC, ranging from 5 cents per milligram for flower to 3 cents per milligram for edibles. So a 100 milligram edible would cost you an extra $3 in THC tax. I personally think this is obnoxious and it sounds complicated as shit. I feel really sorry for the people in charge of keeping the records organized on this one. In other legalization news, New Mexico became the 17th state to legalize adult use cannabis, and just on the heels of New York and New Jersey. And they are the fourth state to do so through the legislative process rather than by voter initiative. In comparison, there are now only 8 states in this country where cannabis is completely illegal. My fellow Texans are now surrounded by states who have either legalized or decriminalized cannabis. And since peer pressure seems to work as well in politics as it did in junior high, I'd say it is a great time to put the pressure on your local and state representatives. And if you're looking for this year's summer vacation destination, I'll include the complete list of cannabis-friendly states in the podcast 180 show notes at casuallybaked.com, along with a legalization map from the Marijuana Policy Project, so you can examine how the country is shifting and what the laws are in each state. And if you want to put your money where your mouth is, the Marijuana Policy Project is a great place to do it. If you plan to visit the wine and weed country of Northern California, let me be your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. Email me through the website at casuallybaked.com/travel to answer a short questionnaire and inquire about summer and fall dates and details. Whether for business, pleasure, or a creative retreat, get ready to have an overall high time customized just for you by me. Today's podcast is covered by MJ Relief, the muscle rub for what aches and pains you. The pain-relieving, skin-soothing muscle rub I co-created with Dr. Monica Villalpando is officially out in the wild and ready to enhance your everyday experience. A few years ago, when we were still batch producing MJ Relief for friends and family as Casually Baked Muscle Rub, I encountered a woman on a client trip to Texas whose personal feelings about cannabis conflicted with her feelings about me and supporting my small business. She had lost her son to hard drugs and was steadfast in the idea that cannabis was a gateway drug, and she was upset about the idea of legalization in the Lone Star State. I sat in her office talking to her about the facts and sharing anecdotal stories from my own firsthand accounts of the benefits of cannabis as medicine. All the while, I watched her holding and massaging her thumb. I asked if she'd hurt herself, and she explained that the pain was chronic and had developed over time, like so many of us that spend way too much time on our smartphones and computers. Since I carry MJ Relief everywhere I go, I magically pulled a jar out of my purse and I encouraged her to use it. I had to swear it didn't contain cannabis and it wouldn't get her high. On my way out of her office, she asked how it was going to make her feel. And I told her she wouldn't feel anything special, she'd just forget all about her aching thumb. 15 minutes later, her head popped out of her office and she was wearing a huge smile when she announced that her thumb wasn't hurting anymore. And she bought 3 jars of MJ Relief on the spot. These days, MJ Relief is in a convenient tube so you can avoid messy mishaps, overusing, and contamination from double dippers. And bonus, it's all natural and smells like a relaxing dream. I've used MJ Relief damn near every day for 4 years to ease my own chronic pain in my jaws, in my neck, my shoulders, and my forearms. No matter where you're feeling the chronic pain, if you want some muscle and joint relief of your own, head over to mjskinrelief.com and order a tube for you and another one for someone you love. That's mjskinrelief.com.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one.
Like the rest of the world, I'm in transition. I feel like I'm being stretched further and further each day. And just when I think I can't stretch any further, oh, that's it. I am about to snap. Somehow, I do stretch. It's not always a pain-free and pleasant process either. But isn't that where the old saying, no pain, no gain, comes from? Frankly, I've become quite amazed at my stretchability. So much so that I got curious to figure out why I was thriving mentally and emotionally while barely surviving financially. I butt heads from time to time with folks who are rooted in the idea that people don't change. And I absolutely, positively disagree. We're constantly evolving and changing as individuals and as a species. I've had the fortunate opportunity to commune with myself for the past 12 months. The isolation of lockdown introduced me in a deeper way to my true self, my higher self, if you will. Like most cannabis consumers, my consumption increased. and I focused deeply on listening and learning and devotion to myself. I developed even more reverence for plant medicine, my body, and the magnificence of our resilience as humans. I know most every entrepreneur has a rock bottom story where they have to look in the mirror and decide, do I double down on myself again? Or is this it? Have I officially failed at this? Let me tell you, I had that moment at least once a month starting in July, all the way through last month. I damn near worked my tits off trying to get a product launched in 2020, and I failed. This week's stretchable moment was receiving a call from Intuit Inc., you know, the QuickBooks people. They're asking me questions about what I'm selling on my website. I rattled off the casually baked merch, the educational materials, and the MJ Relief muscle rub. I was informed that in order to keep my account, I had to remove the muscle rub from my online store because their parent bank isn't cool with hemp because cannabis isn't federally legal. Regardless of the fact that those two things are mutually exclusive, I might add. Hannah, bless her heart, the sweet girl that called to break this news to me, had told me that our phone call was being recorded. So I tell you what, I gave her a revival-worthy preaching and assured her it was for everyone in the company who might listen to this recording. They needed to hear a firsthand account of how impactful these seemingly trivial decisions actually are to small business owners like me. And this, by the way, was a few days after I had read that Harborside, the once small OG Oakland cannabis dispensary, now a vertically integrated cannabis enterprise, had secured a $12 million commercial loan with a traditional lender. Harborside expects to use the majority of the loan proceeds to support the purchase of the company's 47-acre production campus later this year. It will be a 200,000-square-foot licensed cultivation space. 155,000 square feet of that is for flower canopy space, and 45,000 square feet will be nursery space in Salinas, California. Folks, I'm selling muscle rub with all natural ingredients and hemp-based CBD on the internet. We're living an upside-down world, and life in the cannabis and hemp industry is a roller coaster. That, my friend, is why I meditate every morning. I strive to stay calm, inspired, and confident in my knowing that everything is always working out for me. I give the creator, cannabis, and my country girl constitution most of the credit here for keeping me grounded when the easier thing to do would be to abandon myself and give my power away to someone else to fix it. But when you decide that life in general and your life specifically has a purpose, and you unearth your mission, you are willing to do the things that quote-unquote normal people won't do to live that higher purpose. Those are my people, and this message is for you. Living a purpose-driven life is a daily practice, and I promised earlier this year to share the highly inspired lifestyle tools I use to balance it all. If you're curious to increase your stretchability and explore the foundations of a cannabis for wellness lifestyle, I'm hosting a free webinar on April 15th at 4:20 p.m. Pacific time to explore the wellness practices and whole plant solutions I've experimented with to enhance my own everyday experiences. You can take what works for you and leave what doesn't. I'll include the link to participate in the podcast 180 show notes at casuallybaked.com. And I'm thrilled to introduce you to Denny Cipollini next week on the podcast. He embodies this idea of stretchability and living a purpose-driven life. He'll tell us about his marathon with chronic pain and how cannabis saved his life. The Sustainability Roll-Up is presented by OCB Rolling Papers. In perfect harmony with natural, sustainable practices, it's always been the OCB signature to provide the highest quality, responsibly sourced, and sustainably crafted rolling papers. This week, I'm reporting back with big takeaways from the NoCo Hemp Expo in Denver, Colorado. It was my first industry event in over a year, and it felt so good to be back amongst my tribe and see some familiar faces. It's energizing to share space with people who care about sustainability and are boots on the ground creating the change we want to see in the world. One massive takeaway is the oversupply of CBD. New Frontier data distilled it down to this shocking statistic. The surplus of CBD extract from 2020 biomass would be enough to provide a 50 milligram dose per day to 285 million consumers for an entire year. That's a shit ton of CBD, my friend. Charlotte's Web, the hemp industry's most successful CBD brand, generated $95.2 million in 2020 revenue while contracting out approximately 1,000 acres. Though consumer demand isn't diminishing, there's a 4x oversupply, which means hemp processors must find ways to outcompete and outlast their competitors for market share in a segment that cannot support the number of businesses currently engaged. The takeaway? Farmers should not grow any CBD unless they have already secured a sales contract ahead of time. So obviously, the next biggest takeaway is that the rest of the hemp plant, beyond the cannabinoids, they need to slide into the driver's seat and show the world what this industry can really do. Fiber and grain are the future segment leaders of the hemp industry. Though in order to grow and scale in a meaningful and cost-effective way, there's a direct need for investment in processing facilities and industrial equipment. According to New Frontier data, hemp grain has become the second largest segment in the industry after cannabinoid production, accounting for roughly 10% of total U.S. acreage. Fueled largely by increasing demand for plant-based proteins, the hemp grain segment is projected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 16.5% over the next 5 years to reach beyond $144 million by 2025. Remember, there is a difference between growing hemp for medicine and farming industrial hemp. Subsequently, New Frontier data expects grain and fiber acreage to surpass cannabinoid acreage within the next 2 or 3 years. OCB Rolling Papers knows a thing or two about hemp for fiber. OCB introduced the world to the first natural rolling paper crafted with pure 100% French-grown organic hemp from fields in Champagne, France. Organic hemp by OCB is very slow-burning paper, and it's one of the strongest, most sustainable on Earth. It's responsibly harvested, chlorine-free, dye-free, bleach-free, GMO-free, and vegan. You'll love OCB even more because they make no-tear, even-burning rolling papers with natural, always-sticks acacia gum. Of course, you must be 21 and older to buy OCB rolling papers and to follow at @OCB_USA on social. Now, if you're a grown-up joint rolling novice, I invite you to learn the craft alongside me. The Roll With Me video series will launch on the Casually Baked YouTube channel this month. Go ahead and get your rolling supplies ready by visiting ocbusa.com/baked to get 4 booklets of OCB and a rolling tray for only $4.99. This bundle is worth $20 and is around for a limited time. But the rolling skills and street cred we'll earn together, my friend, makes this bundle priceless. As for you OGs who can roll a joint while multitasking, I challenge you to sample the entire line of OCB products and let me know your favorite. Ask for OCB wherever you buy your rolling papers. You'll find links to the OCB special offer as well as an interest form for joining me on an episode of Roll With Me in the podcast 180 show notes at casuallybaked.com. I'm happy to be your cannabis lifestyle guide and share what I know and learn with you. If you feel inspired, please take a beat to rate and review Casually Baked on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That seemingly small action helps other canna curious folks find this highly responsible cannabis content.
Yes, it's high time.
You social butterflies can find me at Casually Baked on Instagram and Facebook. And while you're there, do me a solid and give at MJ Skin Relief a follow to support my other small business. As always, I hope you take what you learn here and share it with your smoke circle. Thanks for doing your part to Puff Puff. Pass it on.
Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.